Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Crosswires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Romesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Game Football Podcast from The Times. I'm Tom Clark and I'm joined by Sunday Times football correspondent Jonathan Northcroft and former footballer turned journalist Gregor Robertson. But today is not about any of us because we're also joined by a very special guest. He's played in the National League, League Two, League One, the Championship and now the Premier League. And he's done it all with the same club, Luton Town. Incredible achievement, especially when you consider that he's the first player ever to do so. Pelly, Ruddock and Panzu, welcome to the Game Podcast.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me and glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, can I just say, I'm going to let Johnny and Gregor kind of lead the questioning and we're going to talk through your remarkable career already, I've got to say. But just to start, a thank you from me because at the start of every podcast, I have to do a little intro where I explain who the guys are. And I'm challenged each week to try and come up with a different fact from Gregor's career. Mm-hmm. And I can safely say that that fact about you will trump any that I can possibly find about you.
We can try.
Just a bit. So, I mean,
you've absolutely seen him off.
They've been really niche now. They've been getting really niche for my career now. Yeah.
Well, we had one the other week about how many bookings he'd had. I'm really stretching it out. So that fact about you trumps absolutely everything. So thank you for that. We've finished him off.
Yeah, Pelly, thanks very much for coming in to see us. I'm really looking forward to this. And as Tom said, you've just had a journey that no one else has had in football. I've interviewed a lot of players, but I don't think I've ever interviewed someone who's had a single written in his honour, has had a type of honey named after him, and a mural painted in a pub in Luton. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you ever just look at this sort of place you're at now and think of the journey and think, God, it's just been a bit mad?
Not yet, no. Obviously, you're still trying to get games under now. We're in the Premier League, 10 games in, trying to get as much points as we can to stay in the league. But I think once the season's done, I'll look over and be like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's been done for me and enjoy it. But right now, we're in the midst of a tough Premier League season. So right now, you can't really think about it. But hopefully, towards the end, it should be hopefully when we stay up, should be a good reminder of what I've done.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff that's been done in your honour and you look at Luton fans on social media and they still, you know, they celebrate you all the time. Mm-hmm. That's testament to the sort of recognition that they have for you. But before Luton, which came about 10 years ago, I just wanted to find out how that sort of all started. And you began at Boreham Wood in their youth system. So how did that come about?
I was playing Sunday League with Belmont, a team in Edgware, and then I went to have a trial at Boreham Wood and then got into the Youth Alliance system. Played there when I was under 16s, then under 70s, went to reserves and then played a couple of first team games. And then there was a coach called Darren McMahon, who was had links with West Ham. And then from Boreham Wood, had a trial at West Ham and then signed my first professional contract with them. Unfortunately, didn't play a first league game. Did play a cup game against Burnley. I think I might have won that game.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And then from then on, tried to get a couple of games, couldn't. Went on loan to Luton in the December and then signed in January. And as I said, the rest is history.
But you're a talent, Pelly. So why was it Boreham Wood? Why was there not any of the bigger clubs after you at that point? Or were you close to signing for one of the bigger London clubs?
There was a couple, but I think West Ham fit right for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too far. You can go to another club in north, in the north or down south, but I think West Ham was a good club, and they're known to develop great young players, and I thought that would be my good opportunity to get my foot in the game and hopefully make some first team appearances.
You from Hendon?
Yeah, from Hendon, yeah.
A lot of football played there. What was the upbringing like?
It was more just local mates from school, and as I said, I was at Belmont from around the age of 9, 10, my first tournament, until 16. Mm-hmm. So just played locally, had a travel Watford. That's a bit mad, bro. Had a travel Watford, didn't get in, but sometimes you gotta bide your time, and Bournemouth came along.
Bournemouth are a good academy though, aren't they? I mean, a lot of people, you know, think that's a pretty small club, and they're a small club, but they've built quite a big academy, and they've had a few players sold on, actually.
No, it's very good. Yeah, they had Ilham Ndiaye, who was at Sheffield. He would just gone to Marseille. Had a couple of players, but yeah, Bournemouth was a great local team. They've partnered with Arsenal, and they got a great pitch. The pitch is great, and the training ground's right next to it. So I enjoy that club thoroughly.
Are you from a football family? I was trying to work out with the name. Is Pele got anything to do with Pele, or?
You have to ask my dad and my mum about that. But nah, my dad just didn't play football. My mum was worked, so there was no footballing from there. But I think my dad enjoyed football and said, "Yeah, I'm going to name you Pele." So there you go.
That's good. It's good. West Ham, you mentioned you did actually play in a EFL Cup game, mm-hmm. and I think you were quite modest there, because it was against Burnley. You were marking Ings and Vokes, playing at the back in a back five.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the West Ham team, it was quite decent. There was both Coles playing, Joe and Carlton.
Carlton, yeah.
You had Kev Nolan coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. So, and you were, what, 19 at the time?
Yeah.
I mean, that must have felt like this was sort of big football at that point.
No, it was great to be involved in any first team at a young age. It's fantastic. And to take my opportunity and win the game was great. I played with Dan Potts, who's also with me at Luton. And, for me to have a great game, and we talk about it sometimes. Dan and say, "Dan, remember we played Burnley?" He's like, "Yeah, it's good." So to reminisce and talk about it was a great feeling. And to play in any first team game is a great experience, and I think wish any young player to try and achieve that.
What was Big Sam like?
Big Sam was Big Sam. You know how he is. He shouts, but he was a caring manager. He really was a good man to my manager, and I did enjoy my time, all the little time that I had with him, and he showed me a few things here and there, and I can't say any a bad word about him.
I mean, having had that successful debut, and Sam actually talked about you, I did look up the post-match interviews, and he mentioned you, picked your performance out. At that point, were you thinking, right, I'm going to have a West Ham career?
It's tough to say. Obviously, it was a cup game, did play well, but anything can happen. A player can get injured and you shoot in, or you might have to bide your time, play back in the reserves, which we had a great reserve team. So at that stage, I was just trying to train as well as I can, get as much game time as I can, and if it didn't work out, then hopefully a team would pick me up. But I tried my best, and unfortunately it didn't work out, but Luton came saving me in the end, I think.
Like nearly 10 years ago, December 2013, and Luton came in, and you initially went on loan. What were your thoughts at that point? Was it, let's do well on loan, come back to West Ham and see where we go from there?
It was tough, because I was coming, well, my contract was expiring in the summer, so I wasn't too sure if they were going to sign me or not, but the main aim was to go to Luton, even though I can't lie to you, I didn't want to. Yeah. When you're in academy football, it's a bit of a bubble, as everyone says. You think that you're going to make it, and when a team in non-league doesn't what comes for you, and you're like, I'm dropping so many leagues down, and is the pitch going to be great, or the facilities here, or we're going to train in where dogs walk where you train and that. So it's tough, but sometimes you've got to take the risk of dropping down, and I'd say to anyone, just play some professional football, get some game time wherever it is, and eventually your talent will come through. And I done that in the December, went back to West Ham in January, and then I signed towards the end of January for Luton.
Was it a bit of a shock? I mean, obviously you'd had some experience with Boreham Wood, but
yeah, it was a little bit of a shock, because I think Boreham Wood was in a better place than Luton, even though Luton just dropped down. But where they were training, you had people walking everywhere, and they had porta cabins, and it's not league football, innit? But you got to adjust to your surroundings, and I think because I had the experience of Bournemouth before, I think it's a lot easier for me to adjust. And yeah, I done well in my initial 1 month loan, and as I said, coming to my expiring contract in the summer, I had to go to Luton and express my worth, and yeah, we managed to get promoted that same season.
Was it local park then you were training on?
Nah, they had their own training ground, but there was access for the public. Okay. So you had kids could go there, and they was cordoned off, so they had a little bit of roping. So around the roping was just our pitches, and then if you wanted to walk your dog or play a little bit of cricket or whatever you wanted to do, there was room available. But it was all in one position.
Yeah.
Like the training ground was here, the gym was here, and the canteen was here. Sometimes in non-league teams, you're training at a school and then you're going back to the stadium. And so in that sense, everything was there at Luton.
Yeah, and you had John Still, mm-hmm. who is a bit of a lower league legend, yeah. and he's brought through so many players from a sort of non-league level, actually, all the way at the top almost.
Yeah.
So even if the club wasn't kind of set up at that point with high facilities, did you find high standards in him?
Yeah, everyone knows he knows the league like the back of his hand. So for him to come into the club and set his standard and his methods, because I think it made it easier for us to get promoted. We just played a standard 4-4-2 and we ran over a lot of teams, and we were fantastic that season. Scored 100 goals, had 100 points. So for us to do that, even though I was in the second part of the season, it was good momentum for us, and we managed to achieve what we wanted to do, and that was to get promoted.
He was famous for his fitness of his teams as well. Was he quite a hard task?
Yeah, I had some hard times in Portugal where we used to just do six laps of just running until you drop. But I think that bode well for me and all the team, because we were fitter than a lot of most teams, and we were scoring 5-6s nearly every game. So I think that helped for us to have a base fitness and keep our standards high and throughout the whole season.
Tell us about your debut. So it's Alfreton Town away, Impact Stadium.
No.
Debut
was Staines in the Cup.
Debut Staines in the Cup. Okay, so there we go. Tell us about Staines in the Cup.
Well, I'm not a centre back, but they played.
Clearly,
I'm not a centre back, but obviously,
yeah.
People got injured at West Ham, so I started to play centre back, right. And then obviously, when I came to Luton, my first game was at centre back. Staines, I think we might have drew the game 0-0 or 1-1, and I played with my centre back Joe Davies. He was at Leicester, and a couple of other boys, Matthew Robinson, Zane Banton, I think Mark Cullen, and a couple of U team boys. It wasn't a bad game, and went to the replay, won the game, back in midfield. I'll say the replay at Kenilworth Road, and that was a debut for Luton.
Did you get tested out? Because, I mean, you're a teenager, non-league, and they're going to see what you're made of, aren't they?
Because I'm a bit of a big boy, I don't think they would
go near me.
So I think I had a... It wasn't a bad game, but I think I managed to get through it. Obviously, it was a debut, so sometimes you're a bit nervous being at such a young age, but yeah. I think I got through it, and it was a good experience.
Okay, so Alfreton was the league debut then?
Yeah.
Yeah,
big slope on that pitch.
It is a slope. It's a slope, but it's good to get 5-0. So yeah, it's good to get a win on my debut in the league. So it was a good experience that as well, and good to integrate with the boys and be a part of a winning team.
You also Luton had been in the National League for a long time, as it was then. Mm-hmm. So, and I know you came into the team and they were really successful, but how hard a league is that to actually get out of?
Do you know, because it's only two. Now they've changed a bit because it's like sixth played five and then four plays. But back then it was just first gets promoted, second plays fourth. No. Second plays
second to fifth, fifth
playoffs, and then third plays fourth. And then, it's tough. But it's a lot of muddy pitches, a lot of away travelling, and you got to be mentally right, and we were able to achieve that, and as I said, the team was in fine form before I came in, and we just carried on since I came in. And for us to score so many goals and produce the performances that we did, if you haven't played in the league, I wouldn't say I wouldn't advise it, but it's a tough league, and it can make you a strong. Well, for me, it made me strong mentally, because there's a lot of times when you don't want to play, and you're playing at 7:45 and it's raining. Even though it's everywhere in football that happens, but some of the pitches aren't great, and you just got to grind it out. And yeah, it is a tough league, but it's one where I wouldn't say go back to. No, it was a good experience for me.
What were the journeys like? What was your mode of transport? Was it?
No, we had a coach.
You had a coach.
We had a coach. Yeah, yeah. Everything was really set up properly.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you had to travel on the day or travel away the day before, it was all well and done. Luton Town really looked after us in that sort of sense.
What did you learn about football playing in that environment that was different to, let's say, the under 21 stuff you'd played at West Ham?
You're playing meaningful football.
Yeah.
People's livelihoods, families, and points. Points that mean something. Like when you're in the academy, you're playing for points, but there's nothing at the end of the season. Obviously, you win your trophies and that. But when you're playing men's football, people's livelihoods are at line, and you can get promoted, you can get relegated, and that means something to people. When you get relegated, you see grown men, women, all crying. So it's a real tough football's tough in general. So playing for Luton in non-league was a experience that I said we'll go through again, and it can shape you.
Yeah.
And it molded me to be mentally strong when things aren't going your way, even though a lot of things did go away for Luton. It makes you a tougher person.
Was it enjoying the taste of that made you actually sign permanently? Because as you said, you went on loan, you went back to West Ham briefly because they had an injury crisis, and then you chose to go and sign the permanent deal. Was it once you'd had a taste of that meaningful football, you thought, I don't want to go back to youth stuff?
Yeah, I would say get games.
Yeah.
It's all about getting games, and then you may think they drop it down leagues, but if you're getting games, then another team may come for you in the higher leagues, League 1, League 2, whatever happened. Even if we didn't get promoted, other teams may come for you, even though you're having games. And I think winning as well. If I went there and we weren't winning, it would have been tough. Like, I've gone here, we've been beaten 4 or 5 games in a row, but a winning mentality did help, and Luton had that before I came, and that continued when I joined.
I mean, it was the first of several promotions, but did it mean as much as going up the Football League? Did that mean as much as any of them?
Yeah. As of me, my first promotion, it meant a lot.
Yeah.
Getting promoted with a team that had done so well and had so much camaraderie and good team spirit and a great manager and great staff was a fantastic achievement, just not for the club, for myself. And as it being the first, it's the one where it lived long in my memory.
I mean, you mentioned the kind of camaraderie. I was looking at the team. You've got Andre Gray in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alfie Mawson, obviously Joe Davis you've mentioned. Also a couple of sort of proper lower league kind of legends, I think. Paul Benson and stuff like that. Was it just a sort of special thing that John Still had built? Was it a kind of atmosphere that, as much as your quality, your spirit was what the club was thriving on at that time?
I think you just got the right mix of people. You had the young and the old. You had me as a young, as you had Matthew Robinson. We had Jake Howes, who's most of my age. We had Andre Gray, and then we had Paul Benson, Steve Wynote at the back, Tiles at the back. Tiles in goal, sorry. And the mix was great. Ronnie Henry was one of my favourite captains. He was a comedian.
Tough one. Comedian.
Oh, a comedian. Loved to play football. And he was a real leader on the pitch. Him and Steve at the back were instrumental to us being so successful.
Yeah. So you up in League One, League Two rather. And I think the club was sort of had quite a decent first season back in the Football League, finished 8th, just outside the playoff places. Not so good second season.
Yeah, I think finished 12th, maybe.
Mid-table, kind of. But looking at you, I think you had a run of injuries at that point.
Yeah.
And you had something, I mean, according to Wikipedia, calcification of the hamstring. What is that?
I don't know the ins and out of it, but just, I mean, just kept not tearing, but kept straining and then just continuing. And then I think it was just about building my body back up again. I hadn't played a lot of league games like that. Obviously, I was playing the youth team, but at West Ham. But I think just continuing to my body growing and adjusting to playing league week in, week out, Saturday, Tuesdays was a bit tough on my body. And I just needed to have a season where I could slowly get back into it. And once Nathan Jones and Jared came in, after John still left, I think they got my body right and I played more games after that. So it was just about maintaining my body and keeping it strong.
Tell us about Nathan Jones, because I mean, he seems like now he seems a bit of a whirlwind, but he was younger then. He must have had even more kind of energy and intensity and stuff.
Nah, he hasn't changed. he's exactly the same. When he came in, he spoke a real good game, and he was real, real good. And his record at Luton, I would say, speaks for itself. He just got us playing a diamond formation, which not a lot of teams played at the time, and we just got moving the ball and we done so well. And yeah, he was probably one of my favourite managers because he had me playing week in, week out at a great level. And the staff that he brought in at the time, obviously Jared, I said, the sports scientist that helped me develop my body and keep on playing games, was a testament to what he can do. And the club just kept getting better and better and better, and he was an extreme part of that.
Yeah, I interviewed Kieran Dewsbury Hall a couple of years ago, who you'll know well, and he said to me he had, when he was looking to go on loan from Leicester, he had quite a lot of options, but Nathan Jones met him in a service station, sat him down, got a laptop out and said, right, these are all the games you've played in the last 2 years, and that included like under 23 games. And he's like, that's what you did well, that's what you didn't do well, that's what I'm going to work on with you. And he was blown away. He was just like, wow, I don't get this level of detail anywhere.
Yeah,
is that what he was like with you in terms of improving
your game? Tactically, and where he wanted you specifically to play and how you wanted to play. He's probably one of the best managers that I had at Luton. And his detail was real good. He had exact positions where you need to play, how you wanted to play, and tactically he got a lot of things right at Luton. And it's a reason why he went on to become a Premier League manager. And obviously sometimes stuff doesn't work out for you. Unfortunately, at Southampton, it was tough. If he kept them up, it would have been a miracle. And obviously I hope that he, if he went down, had the chance to bring them back up. But such as football is a business, and didn't work out. But for me and for Luton, he done incredible stuff, and he made or improved a lot of players at the club at the time that he was here.
Promotion to League One. I mean, you had a couple of near misses, the Blackpool playoff. Tough. Is that as bad as it? Is that in terms of ones that were hard to stomach?
The game was like 6-5, and it was like 3-2 over there, and 3-3 at home, or stuff like that. And being so close, and when they come into the changing room, was so close, and you hear them cheering, it burns, and there's a picture of everyone on the floor, and it's like, and you never want that feeling.
Yeah.
The feeling is it hurts a lot. And we managed to get out the league. I think that's following season.
Next season.
So, yeah. I think behind Accrington Stanley.
Yes, that's right. Second place, 2017-18.
Yeah. So, to go back and get promoted the following season was a great achievement, and it was one where we thoroughly enjoyed.
Because I think the story of Luton is a club with incredible mentality, ability to bounce back.
Yeah.
So the bouncing back from that point, and I think Blackpool actually scored a last minute goal, didn't they, to edge at 6-5.
That own goal, I remember it clearly.
Own goal?
Yeah, that is from a corner, it's headed down, and Jordan Cook's on the line, and he's kicked off the keeper, and the keeper's dived, and he's gone in the net, and they stay in your memory, they itch a lot, but for us to come back the next season and get promoted, it kind of soothes the pain. But at the time, did I want to cry? Yeah, but. It's a tough one to take, but we managed to get over the line the next season.
Yeah, I think Gregor knows one of your coaches quite well as well at the time.
Paul Hart,
yeah.
He was like Nathan Jones' mentor, wasn't he? My youth team coach in Nottingham Forest, and he was a tough taskmaster. But even when you mentioned that the diamond formation, we played that in the academy. I think that was really something he believed was a really good system, difficult for teams to play against, and quite. You know, obviously, the midfield is very important in that too. So, how important was Paul Hart, do you think, in that that journey?
Porter was great. He took sometimes a lot of the sessions and made sure that we got our rotation right. We used our fullbacks a lot. We had James Justin, and who's at Leicester now, just scored the other day, and Jack Stacey, who just moved from Bournemouth to Norwich. So, yeah, they were instrumental to bombing down wings and putting balls in for James Collins and Daniel Hilton at the time. So, yeah, it was all about rotation and keeping the ball well, and I think we did that a lot of the time, and it was a successful formation that we had in them in League 2 and League 1.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
And suddenly, having worked so hard to get into League One, looks a bit of a breeze, wasn't it? You know, you sort of...
I see League One, we went on like a 29 game unbeaten run. Yeah. That ended at Charlton, unfortunately. I think Lyle Taylor scored 2 goals.
Okay.
So them games, they stay saved because it hurts. Yeah, man. So, yeah, League One, we... this damn information, no one could handle it. As I said, we had JJ and Jack Stacey just down the wings, and we had Hilson Collo up front, along with Isaac Vassell, who just... putting so many goals and assists for each other. So League One did seem like it was real easy, but yeah, I think we just had a lot of momentum and team just couldn't handle us, and yeah, we ended up getting first place in League One.
But what I think was amazing about that season was Nathan Jones goes in the middle of it.
Yeah,
doesn't he?
He goes to Stoke.
Did he go to Stoke?
Yeah. And Mick Hoff, he went to Stoke in January after a FA Cup game against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay.
Still a lot to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mick Hofford came in and he just steadied the ship. We had a formation that worked for us. He didn't have to do a lot.
Yeah.
We knew what we were doing. We knew our positions. So for him to just steady the ship, obviously he did put his little tactics and his little inputs in, but in general case, we knew what we were doing, and he just made it easy for us. He said, listen, I'm going to just manage here, but you control the tempo, control the training, because you know how you do it. I'm just going to come oversee everything, and I believe that you can get promoted, and we did that.
I mean, Mick is Mr. Luton, isn't he? He is an absolute legend.
Well, I'm close, but yeah.
he was Mr. Luton, wasn't he?
He's still Mr. Luton, but Mick Harper's a Luton legend. He's still around the training ground, still doing his scouting work, so anything that you need, he's always around the training ground. If you speak to him, he's one with two ears to listen, and he can give you any advice that you need.
It's funny with Mick as well, because I played for Mick, actually, and he's... you know, he's got this reputation as being, you know, a hard man. From his career and stuff. But when it comes to when you see him, when you work for him, when you train, he's kind of very mild-mannered and measured, composed, and he was a really good coach as well.
Yeah, really good coach for us. He let us play when he needed to tell someone off or do this, change a little bit of this. He's ready to do that. But in general, he managed us very well. And as I said, any time you need to speak to him, he was there. I think he's calmed down from his playing days. Yeah, he's a great man. He's a great man for Luton as well.
Would it be fair to say, Pelly, that the first season up in the Championship was the toughest you've had?
Yeah.
Like the whole club have had, not just you, but I mean, it was a long slog, wasn't it? Started with Graham Jones, he got dismissed. Mm-hmm. You were, I think, 23rd, and then the pandemic struck, and you had to sit there in lockdown, sitting in 23rd, staff furloughed. And I mean, that must have been a time of real uncertainty for everyone.
Yeah, it was a tough season for all of football, all of the world, basically. But obviously, Luton is a small club. We do not have the biggest budget in the league that we had, the league where he's in the Championship. So for us to just wait around and see who's going to manage us, and surprisingly, I'm surprised to me anyway, Nathan Jones came back and was able to save us. We didn't play diamond, actually. We played 4-3-3, and we were just solid, sat back, wherever teams were coming to us and hit them on a counter attack. And yeah, in the end, it was a great season for us, but to wait around and survive on the last day of the season, it was a relief, because that was a it was a real long season and probably one of the toughest seasons that Luton have had since I've been here, because there was a lot of uncertainty and we weren't playing our best football in the Championship. As you know, it's a tough league, and anybody can win, anybody can get relegated, and that's how we felt during the season. It was tough, but we maintained our spirit, and in the end, we was able to survive that season.
Someone like you that cares as much as you do about the club, the community, the fans, during lockdown and the pandemic, did you really feel that acutely? You know, you wanted to help people, and they were missing football, they were missing their football club. I mean, what did you guys do in the community? And
It was tough, because you couldn't, wasn't really allowed out. So whatever we can do, we was doing online Zoom sessions, or if we could send over, I don't know, any signed shirts or we can do to anything that anyone could help, we tried to do that. Obviously, we were limited to what we could do, so we tried to do our best, and if the fans were happy, I hope they were happy, which with what we've done when it was joyous. Yeah, all the fans and Luton love Luton Town, and it's a fan base run club, so we've always got to give back to the supporters, and the supporters have helped stabilise the club and made the club a Premier League team right now.
And with people being furloughed, I take it you know every member of staff by first name almost.
Yeah.
I've been there long enough. So you'd have known these people, and how tough it would have been for them.
Yeah. No one wants to, the wages or anything to be cut, and we're living in the pandemic. It's tough to live day by day, not knowing how much you're going to get, and it's tough on everyone, but we all contributed, players, staff, as a collective, and to help stabilise and run the club as much as we could, and I think we did that, and the end result was we stayed in the league and everyone was back on their normal stuff, normal life, and it was a tough time for everyone, but I think we all banded together as a club, as a formidable force, and I think we done that.
Because coming out of the pandemic, the club seemed to, and maybe it was the return of Nathan, but it got your strength back.
Yeah.
The identity was back with him, and didn't go back up straight away, but first season with him, stabilised in the Championship, and then started challenging again.
Yeah, I think we finished 12th that season. It was a season where we didn't think we were going to challenge, but it was another one where you'd want to remain, because obviously we finished 21st or 22nd, wherever we finished, but for us to challenge would have been a tough task. I think Nathan Jones stabilise the club again, make sure that we played good football, and we challenged, but I don't think the squad wasn't strong enough to do that. This is only our second season in the Championship, so we've got to make sure that we're not going crazy gung-ho and trying to win every single game, and make sure that we have a steady base, and finish 12th that season, and then he went off again and he does like leaving us, but we always have to wish him the best. And yeah, we did finish in the playoffs the next season, and more heartbreak. But as you said, we had bounce back ability, lost to Huddersfield in the playoffs, and was able to bounce back again and get promoted the next season.
What was it about Nathan Jones and Luton that worked?
Sometimes it's a match made in heaven, and I think that was Nathan Jones and Luton Town. I think he was at the club for so long that he knows the club and knows how to get the best out of players. And I think he did that with me and did that with a lot of players. So for him to come back and stabilise and have us challenging, it was a great feeling, great experience. And when you're familiar with your surroundings, I think it's a lot easier. When you go to a new club, sometimes you don't know, you're going to bring your own staff, but you don't know the kit man, you don't know the head scout, you don't know the head chief. And sometimes them things can not hinder you, but not make it difficult, but you're just not familiar with settings. So having Luton there familiar, well, I think it made it a lot easier for him.
Yeah, I mean, you kept staying, you kept signing new contracts. Why?
The grass ain't always green on the other side, and I think Luton having always been good to me, and I think every season, apart from one season in League 2 where we didn't finish higher than the season before, clubs just kept progressing. Leeds was there, a couple of teams like Blackburn were there, Middlesbrough were there, the main one, but Nathan Jones actually told me to stay. Don't go to Middlesbrough, and yeah, he convinced me to stay, and we'll do something special when you're here, and we did, and I've got to owe Luton everything because they believed in me, believed in my talent, believed in what I could do for them, and hopefully it's been proven where we are in the Premier League. We still got a full season to go ahead to, and hopefully we can be a Premier League team at the end of the season.
Is that, you also got a bit of a different mindset though, Pelle, because like, it sounds like you're taking on board what Luton have given to you, and that's a reason to stay rather than I might get a better contract somewhere else, or I might, you know, might have a go somewhere else and maybe move quicker up the leagues.
That can always be the case. People can move for money, which is sometimes the main thing for people. People move because they don't like where they're playing, they don't like the weather. Sometimes the weather can play a part. And I'll be honest, yeah. If Spain came and then you want to play in Mallorca or something, then
all those moves were north for you, as well.
Yeah. The north is the weather's not that nice up there, but yeah, listen, sorry.
I just wanted to get you to Aberdeen, but it's not going to happen, is it?
I hate that. It's far, I'm sorry.
It's what my missus says.
But yeah, it's a lot of things coming to play. Some people got family that don't want to move from their family, but like I say, I always say, sometimes you've got to take a risk and reward. And in my case, I didn't actually move, but well, from West Ham, it was a risk to go to Luton at the start of my career. But yeah, for me to stay at Luton, whatever Luton's given me, I've taken it all on board and I've given back as much as I can. But now it's a case where I need to focus on what we can do this season, and to achieve or to stay in the league would be a great and massive achievement for the for the whole town, for the whole club, and especially for me coming from non-league, going up with one club and staying in the Premier League would be a fantastic feat, and hopefully we can achieve that.
I mean, I mentioned the song, the single that I think it's a Luton singer-songwriter wrote called Pelle, and he's named his album Pelle, and me and Gregor were looking at the song before we came on, and I think the lyrics are, it's a love song, I think, and it's all about loyalty. It's about, and you're the person that embodies loyalty to him. Are you a loyal person? Do you think that's part of your makeup for staying?
Yeah, to the club. Loyalty is can mean one thing to someone else and another thing to someone else as also. But yeah, for me to be loyal to Luton, and because they've given me such a great opportunity, my first real taste, apart from Bournemouth, a real taste of men's football and a promotion, which it's been great, four of them, of course, and it's been a great ride, and for me to give back, for them being loyal to me, also giving me contracts of the contracts, which is what everyone wants, and safety for family and your playing career has been great for me.
I mean, there's always a debate, and Gregor's probably on the other side of the fence as someone who moved club a few times in your career.
Didn't have
you?
A choice on this. You didn't have a choice,
right? Sometimes you don't.
You
want to be loyal.
No one's loyal to you.
Anyway, this is about Pelle.
No. But when I speak to players, it's like, there's guys who stay, and a few have stayed as long as you, but there's guys who stay in a place, and I remember Steve and Gerrard always had this argument, that you get more out of staying sometimes. They said it about Harry Kane. You know, you get more out of staying than shifting clubs, because you might miss out on bigger contracts elsewhere, but what you get to do is to become a legend somewhere, and you get to have that deeper relationship with the club. Is that something that your career has given you?
It has. Luton's been a home for me, and for me to continue to play as much as I can week in, week out for the club, that gave me a good start to my career. It's great, and sometimes when you leave the club, you miss it. And I thought if I stay, I could do something special, especially with all the managers that have said, listen, we're creating something special here, along with the chief scout and the board members that have believed in what I can do. And I've spoken to them, like, listen, we want to be doing this, we want to be getting a new training ground, we want to get a new stadium. So to be
will try to be a part of that. I'm not sure when the stadium's going to be built, so hopefully I'm still there. Maybe a statue would be great. But you never know. For me to try to be a part of that, it's grateful, not just myself, my legacy, and hopefully people remember me for being a great player and a great servant to the club and push the club to the maximum they can achieve.
Was the Premier League with Luton always part of your dream? Over the times that would have just been ridiculous to think that.
If I'm being honest, for Luton to jump all the way to the Premier League, I'm not sure who would have believed it that much. Obviously, everyone can dream there. Luton in the Premier League would be crazy, but for us to actually achieve it, it's a fairy tale, once in a lifetime achievement that we've done. Especially me coming from one club all the way there, and whoever's I've played with that's contributed to that. And now we're not quite living the dream. I think the dream would be to stay in the Premier League, and we're trying to fight towards that. But right now we're trying to enjoy it. Obviously, you enjoy winning more. But yeah, for us to do that, we've got to win games, be strong as we can, and hopefully get results. And we'll see what happens. But at the end of the season, we'll know that we've put all the hard work in. And if we don't make it, we don't. But if we do, we know that we've put as much as we can towards the season, and hopefully we get our credit deserves.
What is the difference, or give us a few differences, between Luton 2013 and Luton 2023? Just the place, you know.
New training ground.
Yeah. Different cars in the car park.
A lot of different cars. There's no some people still have some Vauxhall courses and some Beatles there, and I think Luke Berry got a, I can't remember what he got. Luke Berry used to have a Polo.
Okay.
So people still have cars the way they drove, were driven for a while, and they're easy with the car. So it's no bad thing to have a car that you've loved and hasn't let you down. So like a Reliant Robin. I'm not saying a Reliant Robin there, but yeah, you know what I mean. But yeah, obviously there's different cars. There's a new gym. That's great for us to do our activations and people with injury and all of that. We have new catering staff.
I was going to ask about the food.
The food has got a lot better. Not taking it away in cardboard boxes and it's cold and that, but all of that is great. And the stadium is, obviously we've got a new stand, so we're trying to build that, trying to build a new stadium. Hopefully that gets sorted out real soon. And yeah, just the general vibe, and it's just everything's just got better from basically 10 years ago. So we are still trying to build up better players, of course, trying to compete in the highest, probably one of the best leagues that's in the world right now.
What about the number of staff and then like the preparation that goes into games and the analysis and stuff? That must be a little bit different.
Yeah, we've got more analysis staff, more gym staff, more staff for masseuses. So we've got staff coming in and helping out as much as they can. So everything has gotten bigger. Youth team staff's got bigger. So the change room obviously has got bigger. So everything's developing well for Luton Town, and long may it continue. Wherever they have planned, I don't know yet. But hopefully it can be bigger and better even when I'm not there anymore.
What about on the pitch? I mean, like, it sounds obvious that the team in the National League compared to the team you're playing in now is completely different, but how have you found moving up those levels? What do you think the difference is between, say, a National League / League 2 player and a player at the top end of the Championship or in the Premier League as you are now?
I think the speed of the game. Everything is done quick moments, and you can't have a day off in the Premier League. You get found out real quick, and chances that you concede in National League, somebody like the grass may get stuck, may get long, and it goes wide. There was a bubble on the pitch. Obviously, you know Premier League grounds and grass is immaculate. So every pass, every precision, every cross is met with good quality. And as you can see, in the Premier League, once people get chances, they take their chances. So in the National League, you might get two or three where they miss, but in the Premier League, you get 1-2, which is everyone's a goal. And you got to make sure you're tactically aware and make sure you go with your runners. And as I said, you got to make sure you are on job every single game, because the game can go past you in a flash, and before you know it, you're 2-3-0 down, and coming back in the Premier League is a real tough league to do that.
Does it feel different though? I mean, like, does it feel different, the actual you being in the centre of the pitch playing in a game in the Premier League? Because you block out all the stuff around you, don't you, when you're in a game? Does it feel different being a Premier League player to when you're playing in the lower leagues, like the actual game?
You do, because when you're playing National League and you're looking at Match of the Day or looking on Sky, you're seeing De Bruyne, back then it was Rooney, but now you're playing against these players, you're like, whoa, it's not starstruck, but you think, okay, I'm playing against good quality people, and you got to make sure that, one, you got to track your runners, and two, try to do your best, because you know they're world-class players playing for world-class teams and international teams. Obviously, there's still internationals at National League, but you're playing against the England people from Belgium and Brazil's and Italy, so you got to make sure that you're on job and make sure you make a good account for yourselves.
I just wanted to jump in at this point because the guys are talking about things that have changed, and I'm wondering about the fans, because that's one thing that maybe doesn't change in this journey of yours. Because I support Lincoln City, so a kind of team that have been at Luton's level before, lower down, and the kind of club that could only dream of making the Premier League, having the same journey. And I was interested hearing you talking before about the National League promotion, because when we got promoted from the National League, and we got promoted from League Two as well, but that one was the one that meant the most. And you've been on this journey with the fans. So do you feel you have that connection with them because of that journey? You know, are you spotting people in the crowd that you've seen for 10 years, the same kind of people? Because as much as Johnny's saying, you know, the training facilities change, and Greg is saying, you're stood on the pitch and the players, the opposition's changing, those guys aren't changing. They're with you the whole way.
Yeah, I do recognise some fans. Oh yeah, Pelle, I took a picture of you 10 years ago. Look. And it's fun to see that. Obviously, you know that they'll come in their thousands every single week. So to have them, even some of the stewards, some of the ball boys that have grown up that are still there, it's crazy to see. And the fans always come in their thousands. Even the away fans are fantastic. I think personally for me had one of the best away fans that I've had since I've joined, and they come in the thousands, they support us, and they've been with us the whole way through. So in that sense, now the fans have remained real strong with us. They try to sell out as much home games, try to sell out as much away games that they can, and I think they've been a big part of how Luton is run and how Luton has survived and how Luton is thriving right now.
That's you mentioned seeing ball boys grow up. Yeah. So like you've seen them go from little kids.
Yeah, man, like little kids, and then I've seen them, and now I've taken a picture of them 10 years ago, and now they're still in the youth team, and then it's funny, and it's great that they've still been in the academy and doing well.
I mentioned at the start, I think it was a Luton Mad Beekeeper made brand of honey that is called Pelle Honey.
Yeah.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I tried it. It was nice.
It's all right.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, I had it with some tea. I put my tea in there. So, yeah, I still have the jar, actually.
Okay.
And I think I might have to get some more because I just need to run out. But, it was actually good. It was good honey.
Look, you'd be very modest, but I think one thing we haven't sort of asked you really is, why you? Why have you been able to do something that nobody else has been able to do? Because, you know, as clubs move up, they often, well, they always discard players. And it's one of the sad things. You see a team work its backside off to get promotion, and then half the guys get chopped, and then they go again. But there must be something in you that every time they've gone up the level, you've been able to live with it. You've been able to improve your game, and managers more at the point have thought, we need this guy. What do you think it is?
I think I'm a good player, actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm joking. But
of course, listen,
I think that I've just improved every single season that I've been promoted and played. So for me to have the consistency in trying to play, trying to look after your body, trying to play as much games as you can, and when you play well, you get rewarded with contracts. And I think I've done that. And obviously, you have to have managers that believe in you. Sometimes haven't been playing, but when it comes to the end of the season, I've got back into the team and done well for all the manager I played with. So the club, the manager, all got to have faith in you. And sometimes it is a bit of luck. Somebody gets injured or this happens and you get thrown back in and you've done well and you keep your position. Ultimately, it's down to you and how you are. And I think I'm a big character in Luton. And I think that has helped me stay and... They say I'm Mr. Luton after McArthur, but yes, for me to have stayed for Luton is a fantastic achievement, and hopefully I can continue being doing well for Lou, and then you never know what the future holds. But for me to be still here, it's a great feeling for me anyway.
Because we should mention that it's not like you've just played 5 games a season. You've played nearly 400 games for this club. That's nearly 40 games a season over 10 years. So you've been on the pitch. Mm-hmm. What is different about your game, or what's the same as when you were playing in that game against Staines then?
Well, firstly, position.
You're now in
the... trying to drive the team forward, and if I need to win my tackles, just trying to be an all-round midfield player. When you're, obviously, formation does dictate where you play. When I was playing a diamond, I was playing sitting, so I had to sweep up, get the ball rolling. As I've moved further up the leagues, they played me in number 10 position or one of the 2 8s. So now my position is now go and get in the box, attack, but also make your way back and defend. So the positionally it's been different, but try to be an all-round midfielder, and in that sense it's been different, but you got to have some adaptability in your game. And I think I've had that, and I've got that, and it's helped me stay at Luton for a while.
I mean, again, we should mention you're a guy that's played centre-half, but you've also scored from 30 yards. And so not a lot of guys have got that amount of adaptability.
No, Nathan Jones said, blazing squad, so that was if the ball goes off the bar, then you're blazing it. So that lived me, so...
Didn't do that.
Yeah, try to limit that, tried to score some bangers along the way, and I've won a couple awards for that. But, contribute as much as I can. If it's a clean sheet, if it's a goal, you've got to do everything you can for the team.
Yeah. Look, before we wrap up, I'm conscious that we kind of raced ahead a little bit and didn't actually ask you about the moment of going up, and in fact, even about Rob Edwards arriving and putting that run together. So can you just tell us a little bit about last season's journey?
Yeah. Obviously, Nathan left.
Again.
But, Rob came in from Watford, which was, I'm not sure how the fans would have taken it, but Watford, they always chop and change their manager, so he didn't really get to implement his ideas. He was there for about 12 games, so for him to come and show Watford what he could do and what he achieved was wonderful. He set us up to play in a way where we was direct. A lot of teams couldn't handle us. We had Eli and Carlton up front, and they bullied a lot of teams, and we were very territorial, and it helped us to gain territory and play our way from there. And for us to finish third behind the top two, we went up with Sheffield and Burnley. It was a great achievement for us, finishing again better than we did last season, season before in sixth. So for us to finish third was for us a great achievement. We didn't think we would finish so high, considering we was a couple of points behind Middlesbrough at the time, and we overtook them, and then got to the semi-final against Sunderland, which we did take the lead with Eli scoring, but we had Diallo scored a fantastic free kick, and that's the quality that you get from a Man United player. And then they had, I can't remember who scored the second goal for them, but we knew that two goals from them wouldn't be enough. And then go back to the Kenny, and we just said, yeah, listen, they've got missing a couple of centre-backs. We might as well just go direct and see what they can handle us. And couldn't handle us, won the game 2-0, and then Wembley came. I don't really get nervous.
Yeah.
I don't really get nervous. I'm real relaxed. Never? And chilled. Nah. Nerves, good nerves and bad nerves. Good nerves can be good for people and bad for people. But me, you got to embrace the game. And I think we did. I think first half, we was real, real good. Against Coventry, I could have scored. Eli could have scored. Carlton could have scored. Clicker scored in the end. And then they changed the formation. And then they got back in the game. And then after that, it got nervy.
It was never going to be easy.
It got nervy. I think if we had scored two goals in the first half, I think it would have been a lot easier. But they changed formation. They put Godden back up front with Jokeres, and Hamer scored. I think he's a good player. And then extra time comes, and the penalties come, and then what a way. If you lose on penalties, it's real tough. But when you win on penalties, I think it's not the best feeling. No, not the best way, but the feeling when, unfortunately, Darboe missed his penalty, and the I don't think you can explain the feeling. Just relief. You're running everywhere, you don't know where to look, left or right, and you've got the fans screaming, and you've got people crying, people on their knees, you've got the supporters, you've got members of staff, and it's, like I said, the feeling you cannot repeat it, and it was a great day for us in the end.
And you also had Tom Lockyer, what happened to him? I mean,
yeah.
So much must have been in your mind.
You know, it's tough for when you're skipper, obviously he was in the team of the season, so he was in excellent form. For him to go down after 5-10 minutes, you have to regroup, and he was on our minds, and at half time you're thinking, we're 1-0 up, but sometimes your mind could be elsewhere. We've got to do this for Tom. Tom has been a rock at the back for us, and unfortunate for him to go down so early, but for us to win in the end, and Carlton called him and everyone tried to visit him, hospital and that. But yeah, for him to be a part of it for so little was unfortunate for him, but we won in the end, and I think he was in the hospital bed watching us, so there's a photo of him there, so it was a great feeling for him and for us, and we did it for him in the end.
Yeah. Is there anyone you shared the moment with, like, who knew your journey, who'd backed you, who meant a lot to you?
The moment was all a blur. when the penny was missed, you're just running around and looking for someone to hug, and I think I hugged Daz, who's a masseuse, who's been with me since I signed, and just went down, had a little prayer, thank God, said thank you for giving me health is wealth, and give me the opportunity to play the game and get through it. And the joy that was on everyone's face, obviously Potsy joined the year after I joined, and it's been 9, 10 years together, and we just hugged it out, and we really couldn't believe it, and a lot of people's Premier League dreams came true.
I mean, talking about dreams, you're an Arsenal fan, right?
Yeah.
And you've got this run of fixtures coming up. You've got Liverpool, and then you've got Man United, and I think there's another game.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah. And then you've got Arsenal.
Yeah.
I mean, is how do you see this mentally? Is this dreamland stuff? Or are they just games?
They're games, but they're big games. Do you know, all Premier League games are big. But when you play, the top six-ish teams, you want to make a good account of yourself. You don't want to get beaten 6-7-0 and everyone's already writing you off. I know there's already pundits that have already said, yeah, you're not going to go down by Christmas and January, and you just want to make sure that even though you might not win the game, make sure that we've played the Luton way and given a good account of ourselves and played the way we play and make our contests, and hopefully pundits and fans and people who have everyone's got their own opinion, but the opinion's black. Listen, Luton are a good team and deserve to be in the Premier League, which we all do, the fans do, the club do. There's always outside noise, but we can't control that, and Rob has made sure that we make sure that in-house we always believe in that we can achieve something, and every game he's tactically aware and positionally, and the players that are going to start 11 and players that come on, make sure that you give all that you can and make sure we play the Luton way, and hopefully we're doing that, and come the end of the season, whatever happens, we've played the way we can play.
Have you had one moment or one player you've played against that you've thought, this is Premier League, that's a bit special?
Not yet. I think in these coming games, I think they're going to be interview me in a month's time, and that'll be different. But yeah, in these next coming games, we've got a lot of big teams that we need to play against. And as I said, you're playing against world class players, so we got to make a good account of ourselves. Even if you're not playing and you're supporting the team, you're not in the starting 11, you're not in the squad, but you're on the bench and you're making an impact in everywhere you can.
Is your mindset, though, as it has been every time you've climbed? You know, yeah, you're saying you might be starstruck, but I want to compete. I want to show I deserve to be on this pitch.
Yeah, 100%. We got promoted, and rightfully so, even though other teams like Middlesbrough or Sunderland will say we didn't deserve to. But as a team, as a collective, as an individual, you think you're going to try to be the best player on the pitch, and you got to battle it out against your opposite number, whoever's in midfield, or defence against the strikers, and vice versa. So every time you're up against a player from an opposing team, you got to make sure that you give a good account of yourselves and make sure that you try to get a bit better of them. Even if you don't play well, you track the runners or you do anything you can to, I don't know if you're pulling their shirt, you're pulling their hair, whatever little moments or things you can gain on them and try and make it as difficult as possible for the opposing players.
My last question is just, I think your journey's probably quite inspirational to a lot of players, you know, who at this moment in time might be playing non-league or might be a young player that's just been moving from a Premier League club looking for an opportunity somewhere, and you're the guy that's taken all that and got to this point. Is there like a kind of moral of your story? Is there a message that you'd say to a young player in that position?
The message I'll say is take that risk. Mm-hmm. Because academy football, even though it's nice, you play for Chelsea, you play for Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, when there's chances to play games, don't be afraid to step down. You may step down 2-3 leagues. You're getting game time, and when people are looking at you, has he played men's football? Can we trust him with playing with points on the line? Because academy football, as I said, is not points. So playing games, and don't be worried what other people say. Oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. If you think that you're good enough to drop down and make a career, it might not be Premier League. Not everyone gets to play the Premier League. It's a real fortunate league. So even if you're bad in your trade in the Championship is another great league. So I would say take the risk and don't be afraid to drop down and play games, and hopefully you get bought by another Premier League team and go back to your parent club when you face them and score. Be like, listen, I've took the risk. You might have believed in me, but it was time to leave and play more games. So that would be my advice to any young player that is afraid. I'm saying don't be afraid, because if you're afraid, then you won't know what's on the other side, and the other side might be good, but you wouldn't have explored it if you didn't go and take a chance to play more games.
Lovely stuff. Thanks very much. That's brilliant.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm sure, Pelly, that you've brought in a lot of Luton Town listeners to the Game Podcast for the first time. So if you are a Luton fan and you enjoyed this show, make sure you subscribe. We're on Mondays and Thursdays with Johnny, Gregor and the rest of the Times team. But for now, chaps, thanks for joining me. And most of all, Pelly, thank you very much for telling us about your life in football.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.